We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
American prosperity is the bedrock of freedom and security all over the world.
An obligation to the heritage of liberty and dignity handed down to us by our forefathers.
It's time for the Pro-America Report with Ed Martin on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome, 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 everybody, to the Pro-America Report. This is Ryan Height stepping in today for Mr. Ed Martin. He is actually out with his family starting the Easter weekend already. Today is, in fact, Good Friday, as I'm sure many of you may know. Many of you may actually have off work. But I am glad, if you're still listening, that you are here with us, the Pro-America Report family. Let me go ahead and remind you, before we dive into the show today, which we do have new content and some good stuff at that. I'm looking forward to it. Daniel Greenfield is on the program with us today. He's always a good interview. Front Page Mag from Out It, David Horowitz's organization. Daniel is always great. Really, really good. So I am looking forward to hearing from him. Ed actually pre-recorded an interview with him. But before we get into any of that, I almost got myself distracted here. Before we get there, let me remind you, go to ProAmericaReport.com. ProAmericaReport.com is where you will find all of the Ed's. My goodness, it's Friday. It's just Friday. We're at the end of the week, and my words are revolting. They are revolting against me. Not like you're revolted, but they're revolting against me anyway. ProAmericaReport.com, that's where you can find Ed's Substack, all the things he's talking about, the stuff he's writing about. It coincides often with our wink, the What You Need to Know, this first segment of every program. And consequently, the wink email is one that you'll want to get. Go to phyllisschlafly.com. That's where you're going to find all the archives of the Pro America Report, the podcast standalones, links and resources, and, of course, the all-important, all-incredible, nothing to be coveted, because you can go and sign up for it yourself, wink email that comes out every weekday morning. Don't miss out. Go sign up at phyllisschlafly.com and then find Ed's Substack at proamericareport.com. You will not regret either one of these things. Well, I tell you what. It has been a full week of news, a full week of news. Indeed, it has been. And, you know, it is weeks like this. There's a lot of really good things that are happening. There's a lot that is very concerning. And it is a wonderful week. It's a good time here as we cruise forward. It almost feels like we're careening out of control sometimes in this election year. This is one of the wonderful weeks to stop and pause and to have a, not just a holiday, not something that's patriotic, but something that goes beyond it, something that matters even more, something from which we draw our patriotism. Let's be honest. That's where the patriotism comes from. And this is a wonderful time in America to have to stop this weekend and reflect on that, because I tell you what, we on our own power, and I know Ed talks about this, I talk about this, even if you don't share our own religious values, there is a higher power that is responsible for the workings of men and to which man must answer. There's just really no way around that kind of worldview. You could call it what you want. I'm not going to use this platform to argue the point. But there's no way doing things on our own power, thinking that man is perfectible, man is able to achieve some sort of utopic state, utopic, utopia, some sort of utopia here on Earth. That's the stuff of Marxism and the religious philosophy behind it. Humanism, secular humanism. There is no higher power. Man is the highest authority. Therefore, state is the highest form of state and government is the highest form of authority on Earth. That's just who wants to live that way? That's a horrible way to live. And you know what? Let this Easter weekend remind us. That's what we need to know. In American politics, this is a battle of worldviews. It's not just a political battle. Hey, we want to do this way. Hey, we want to do this a different way. That's not what it's really all about. It's not just about wanting to do this political, budgetary or economic or constitutional or sovereign. These things all come from greater truths, from more important, more fundamental truths than just the running of our country, the writing of a constitution, the having of a border. all of these things, whether you're on the one side of the aisle or the other, come from a religious viewpoint. Now, does that religious viewpoint involve Christianity, Judaism, our Judeo-Christian values, which, I mean, look across history. I'm not here to try to argue the point. We come from a Judeo-Christian heritage. That is the foundation of law in America. The foundation of culture in America comes from Judeo-Christian values, period, which is why Marxism, communists, the socialists now, Antifa running around in the streets, this has always been incompatible, completely and wholly incompatible with America, with how America functions, with our representative republic, with our constitutional federalism that we have in this nation. It cannot work with Marxism, with this human, because it's incompatible. We recognize from the very beginning that man is not the highest authority and therefore is not the giver of rights. Here, we're hearkening back to something we've talked about. If you're a regular listener of the show, or if you actually are a regular listener of my program every Thursday, Unauthorized Caucus, I do with Mason Mohan, our other co-producer here on the program, sometimes a guest host. He's been out for the last couple of weeks. But if you listen to us here, we'll talk about this quite a bit. The fact that the last, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, there was just this disgusted, I'll call it a tirade, but there was a disgusted tirade on MSNBC where they're trying to equate this, and I'll put a link in the show notes. You'll want to look at it. But the left is trying to drum up this Christian nationalism, this boogeyman that doesn't actually exist. It's a manufactured term. As a Christian, as a devout Christian who is also I hate to say religiously, very, very dedicated in the political realm, their version of Christian nationalism, they're trying to convince the American public that there's some sort of dangerous element that wants to create a theocracy where the church just rules and governs. This is nuts. I mean, maybe there are people out there that think like this, but I don't know them. I don't think you know any of them. But the vast majority of us believe, as the founding fathers did, there is, in fact, a higher authority. I believe that is God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that that higher power gave us our rights, these inalienable rights. They are bestowed to us by God. Therefore, what the founding fathers did is not to bestow rights, this Bill of Rights, freedom of speech, religion, conscience, the freedom to defend yourself and your family. These are not rights that were bestowed upon us by the founding fathers. These are rights that our founding fathers and constitutional framers said they are inherently ours. They are given by God. They are given by the higher power. And what we're doing is writing this document to put chains, to put restriction on this man-comprised entity known as government, to say, yeah, that's not yours. You didn't give it to the people. You are not allowed to take it away. I don't want to live in a world where the government is the author of our rights, because then that means they can take them away. When the next guy who doesn't like you gets in, he can just decide, oh, we're going to suspend that. I mean, we're witnessing that right now. You and I are seeing what happens when government takes that authority upon itself right now. People get thrown in jail. They are bankrupted by corrupt courts and a corrupt justice system that no longer doles out justice, but doles out political retribution. That is the kind of world that we live in. And according to MSNBC, apparently, that they want us to live in, because heaven forbid we believe that our rights came from God or a higher authority. You know, the government didn't give them to you. Well, good, because I don't trust those yahoos to keep them there. I mean, It's really just patently ridiculous when you listen to some of these things that they're saying. But it really is revealing that this is a worldview battle that we face in America today. We're fighting in politics. We're talking about political issues. We're working on culture. But this is the reminder, and again, what you need to know, what you and I need to remember each and every day, this is a worldview battle. And fundamentally, there are forces that believe in a humanist, man-centric kind of thinking, a religious spirit that is wholly incompatible with the laws and the values of the United States of America. So on this Easter weekend, today on Good Friday, as you take time to remember, as we all stop and reflect upon the gift that Christ has given us, this gift of dying on the cross and then completing the work, being raised again on the third day, the resurrection, as we celebrate that empty tomb on Sunday, let's remember that what you and I talk about here on this program every single day, what Ed talks about, what our guests talk about, the history of America, the moving forward of this political and cultural animal that we're dealing with, this behemoth that we try to control, we must remember to continually view it in light of the worldview that there is a higher power, an author of time itself, who has given us these rights. Therefore, man is not the highest authority. Man is not the authority that can take them away. And when others come in, we must evaluate, is this someone who just wants to do something a little bit differently than us? Or is this coming from a worldview that is completely incompatible with what we are as our American Republic? We have to keep that in mind. This is a worldview battle. So on this Easter weekend, as we celebrate the resurrection, keep that in mind. This is a worldview battle. Thanks for being with us. Stick around. Come back after the break. Go to proamericareport.com and phyllisschlafly.com. I guarantee you won't want to miss it. We will see you back right after the break here on the Pro America Report.
This is the Pro America Report on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Our next guest is Daniel Greenfield, and he is, of course, over at the David Horowitz Freedom Center, and a prolific writer. I was looking up his writings, and of course, you can go to frontpagemag.com. That's where a lot of them are initiate and start out, but also all over the world, Daniel is published. So welcome back, Daniel. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. We haven't had you on in a while. It's been a few months at least. And I wanted to ask you about how quickly world politics have shifted. And it's almost impossible for me to keep it straight. After October 7th, I think the world was united, accurately, in my opinion, in saying, Israel's got to do what they have to do. It's their national security. But you watch this kind of ebb and flow back and forth. And I watch it thinking it's not based on anything substantive. It feels like it's based on almost the world business model is create people mad at each other and stoke them up. How do you give me your perspective on where we are?
Well, I compared October 7th to 9/11, and it's playing out much the same way. The terrorists are playing the victim. Initially, everybody knows what's right and wrong. And then you get enough of terrorists playing the victim, and suddenly there's ambiguity. People are questioning, well, maybe they're going too far. Maybe it's just we need to actually get everybody to stop shooting at each other when there's no actual way to get the terrorists to stop shooting at you, short of defeating them. And this is something that terrorists, Islamic terrorists, have been very good at. They've had a lot of practice doing this in so many different countries. It's not just America or Israel. It's all across Europe. It's Australia. It's Canada. Anytime a terrorist attack happens, there's an immediate response. And right away, we start talking about Islamophobia. And we start talking about how, the people who support the terrorists are being discriminated against and how the terrorists have families and on and on and on. And suddenly people are no longer sure what's right and wrong. And this is really what the left does to us on a regular basis. People come in with common sense. They come in understanding what is right and wrong. And then the left twists things around, they reverse, they inverse, and then suddenly people are no longer sure what's right and wrong anymore.
Daniel Greenfield is our guest again. Frontpagemag.com is where you can see many of his writings. And I agree with that. And actually, it's very helpful to hear you tie it so succinctly to 9/11. However, I also think there's something about the modern moment that in America, forget the world for a second, just America, that makes it particularly makes people particularly susceptible to this playbook. And we were talking off the air about David Horowitz. He's written literally dozens of books and a number of them on the tactics of the left. And so I know it's a set of tactics. Feels like the tools for these tactics are more effective at making regular people, and I think you had some writings on this about polling. I mean, regular folks sort of fall for it faster and deeper than maybe even after 9/11.
Yeah, well, the country itself, the culture itself has gone further to the left. it's lost sight of, you know, basic facts. So it's gotten worse. It's only going to get worse until we actually turn the ship around. Because when people actually don't even know what a woman is, when they can't agree, you know, on basic truths, basic facts, when the left can make even the worst kinds of people seem like victims, anything is possible. We just had an article in The Atlantic about this Muslim student at Stanford who goes around with a banner saying, ask me about jihad, who says that Hamas should take over America, who called repeatedly for assassinating Biden. And the response to the article from a editor at Bloomberg was, you know, why are we shaming this 23-year-old who didn't ask to be in the news? You know, they can justify anything at this point, and it's only going to get worse from here. You know, as bad as we think the various, you know, things like what is a woman is, they're going to push harder and farther and faster until people don't know what up and down is anymore.
Daniel Greenfield is our guest, and he's at frontpagemag.com. His writing's there and all over the place. What about the political reality in Israel? I know it shouldn't matter in a way. It should be war footing, but it does matter. And it does matter that the president of the United States has sent increasingly confusing signals. What is the path forward? Because had America, for example, after 9/11, had America had signals from major allies that, you know, you have to stop this. And there were a few. You have to, you know, don't go so far. There were a few. But mostly we plowed on past it. What is the political reality in Israel?
Well, the public is united behind defeating Hamas for the most part. There's still a contingent on the left who are going to go out to protest and all that. But, you know, by 70% margins or so, the public is united. Israel, however, is dealing with increasing pressure campaigns from the Muslim world, from Europe and all these countries that answer to them, and from the Biden administration. But initially, Israel thought, you know, we're going to do whatever the Biden administration says. They're going to give us their support and we're going to move forward with this. You know, they want us to, not use tanks here. They want us to target more specifically there. We can try to work with that. This was unfortunately a mistake. It was an inevitable mistake. I warned this was a mistake because the bottom line is support is always a ticking clock. There was a point at which the support was going to go away, and that point was the end of the year. This point, the Biden administration is doing everything possible to level pressure on Israel, and the reality is it's actually making things worse. So the Biden administration refused the veto a UN resolution calling for an end to Israeli attacks on Hamas. As a result, Hamas is pulled out of the hostage negotiations yet again. The reality is this entire idea that if you apply more pressure on Israel, you would get some kind of agreement, works just the opposite, because the terrorists are the ones who never actually want to come to any kind of agreement. So when the Biden administration applies pressure on Israel, just like the Clinton and the Obama administrations, what happens next is that the whole negotiations blow up, and conflict then becomes absolutely the only way forward.
Daniel Greenfield is our guest again, frontpagemag.com, and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. He's an author there and prolific writer and communicator on this. How does it play out for America politically? I think Joe Biden is hurting himself, but I'm not sure he ever had what I would call not just conservative Jewish voters, but sort of, right and center right voters, Jewish voters. That wasn't who he relied on for his coalition to get elected. But is he going to pay a political cost?
Well, he was already underwater among New York Jewish voters. Now, that's not going to make that much of a difference because of the demographics in New York. He lost Florida Jewish voters, and that actually is a swing state in 2020. So I think he's going to lose them by an even higher margin. And while the Biden administration is focusing very much on Hamas supporters in Dearborn, Michigan, and assuming that they are the ones who count on winning them over is important, there are Jewish voters in those swing states. They are watching what's going on, and they're seeing the betrayal and the sellout. How they'll react is hard to say. Some of them are liberal. Some of them are more conservative. But the demographics in the Jewish world are also shifting toward a more religious, more traditional, more conservative voter. So this is certainly not going to help him the way that he thinks it is. He's trying to play both sides. And you know what? At some point, you have to decide good or evil, right or wrong.
Right. Daniel Greenfield, last question. I had one of my listeners email me and say, when you get these really smart guys on, ask them where they go to read what's going on in the world. Where do you go to read about what's happening, let's say, in Israel, and that you trust what they're saying? Or do you go to places and say, you know, they're going to be spinning you this direction, but you want to see what they're spinning? Your thoughts?
You absolutely have to read between the lines when dealing with the media. That's what I always do. You know, sometimes when they're defending something, you know that there's a problem. Likewise, when they're very vocal about pushing a particular agenda, you know that marching orders have gone forward. I just did, for example, an analysis of the Biden administration's investigation of former President Trump, which started as soon as the Attorney General Garland was confirmed. But I did it by reading between the lines of the various leaks that are coming out of the Justice Department. You really cannot trust anything out there these days, whether it's the media, whether it's not the media. You have to think for yourself, analyze for yourself, ask questions.
Well, and read Daniel Greenfield and frontpagemag.com. Hey, thank you for taking the time. Thank you for being a voice out there and taking a lot of flack sometimes and attention other times and communicating. We're grateful in the tradition of David Horowitz and his work. So thanks very much, Daniel.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take a break, everybody. Be right back. I'll put some links up to Daniel's writings, his essays, also his book, and we'll take a break. Be right back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Back in a moment.
This is the Pro America Report on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Very, very interesting man to talk to next. Brett Hamacek. He's the vice president, associate publisher at Human Events Media Group. He's written numerous books and has collaborated with our old friend Charlie Kirk, who's over at Turning Point, of course. And Brett has been a speaker all across the country, but also at ISI, the Intercollegiate Studies Institute. And he's got a book, which is what we're really talking about. The book is called Dissidently Speaking. Change the words, change the war. I thought he was going to say change the words, change the world, but change the war. We'll get to that. It just is out a few weeks. Welcome, Brent, to the program. How are you?
I couldn't be any better. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm grateful that that you had me on, give me the opportunity to share some thoughts and ideas.
So my old boss, the late Phyllis Schlafly, used to say half a book is its title, because people just are going to react to the title. Probably you and I could say half a book. If you're an author, you know this. Half a book is the title. Half a book is the first chapter, and the other half is the rest of the book. I don't know. There's not enough halves there. Yogi Berra would be proud. But the title, Dissidently Speaking, Change the Words, Change the War. How'd you get to that title? What does it mean to you? Well, tell us about that.
Well, first of all, I'd love to take credit for getting to the title, but it actually was the contrivance, an idea of my partner and dear friend, Felisa Blazek, who came up with it. And the idea is that from a dissident perspective, that people who believe in the original ideas of America, those being the ones that came to us really from John Locke about a minimal government that protected life, liberty, and property and did little else. Those of us who believe in that sort of limited form of government and not encroaching upon our individual rights, we're finding ourselves in this world today having to act more and more like dissidents, like those we saw in Eastern Europe in the last half of the last century, being forced to fight back from the inside against the walls of a system that are starting to collapse around us. And so the title comes in part from an essay I published back in 2021 in January that went viral internationally. And then the change the war, change the words, change the war part is fairly simple, because right now we can see that in this country, we are at war, not just with one another, but we're almost at war within ourselves. And a lot of it, my contention is, a lot of it has to do with the very sloppy use of language, the deliberate misuse of language. And it's clouded our ability to think critically and to think skeptically. So we need to be dissidents. We need to change the words we use, and then we can change the nature of this war that we're fighting. And there is a full breakdown of that book title.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Dissidently Speaking is the name of the book. Brent Hamacek is our guest. As he mentioned, his co-author is Felisa Blazek. I want to make sure to mention her on this.
Okay, so I think people agree that the book cover, by the way, is also compelling. It's got two sneakers and is right on the left and left on the right. You know, it's kind of the images. So everybody kind of feels that, right? Everybody's yelling at each other, fighting amongst themselves. You can't trust the news if you're watching Fox and you don't like Fox. You're more liberal. You don't trust them. You watch MSNBC. You don't trust them. You kind of fake news is everywhere. Politicians are lying or just speaking. But I repeat myself generally. All right. So what's to do? You know, we all see the problem. As I was going through the book, I thought, yep, I get it. But tell us what do you do now? And how do you not, if you put your head up and you're a dissident, truly, you get your head taken off if you're on the wrong side of that. And that's maybe the biggest problem is this self-censorship.
Self-censorship is a big problem. And I address it directly in the book. But look, one of the keys to being an effective dissident, and it, by the way, the cover design, thanks for complimenting it, also Felice's work. But the key to being a dissident is to understand that there are people in this country who are actively and deliberately trying to take away our individual liberty. Now, this isn't new, by the way. This is something that's as old as man. Long before we had the word totalitarian, we had totalitarians. And this has been the nature of how men have lived for almost all of history in almost all places. So there's nothing new about it. But one of the contentions I make is that because we use these labels of right and left, which in the first chapter of the book, I prove, and I mean prove, that those labels are non-existent and don't work. We want to fight against everybody who doesn't agree with us. We think they're all the enemy. But the key to being an effective dissident is to know when to push and to know when to pull. I like to characterize this by thinking of this totalitarian beast that we're facing in this country taking a physical form of an obelisk. Okay. So if you have that obelisk and you can imagine inside of it, at its base, the strongest part are the people that are aggressively trying to take control of our lives and subject us. But as you float up through that obelisk, there are all sorts of people who are seeming to go along with this, but have no real understanding of it. They don't want to be serfs any more than you or I or any member of your audience do, but they're caught up inside of that obelisk. Now, there's two ways to topple an obelisk. One is you can push really hard against the base until you generate enough momentum that you tip it over. The other one is to throw a hook up around the top and pull it down towards you. But I like to say there's a third way to topple an obelisk, and that's to push and to pull at the same time. And so our trick is to understand the difference between those against whom we need to push and those for whom we need to pull in towards us by reaching out to them, constructively engaging them, asking them questions, listening to what they say, and trying to make a compelling argument. Final quick thought.
Yeah.
I make another argument that the two most compelling and powerful figures in all of Western civilization, one on the secular side and one on the spiritual side, are Socrates and Jesus Christ. Now, they have two things in common. One is they both died for their activism. The other is that they both changed the course of all of civilization by asking questions. And so I would urge people to embrace their inner Socrates in Jesus Christ, ask questions, force those that perhaps don't agree with you to contemplate their own answers, and maybe you'll get some conversions along the way.
Fascinating, interesting comparison there. I like that. By the way, I wanted to make sure to put it, boy talking offline. Our guest is Brent Hamacek, and his book is Distantly Speaking, Change the Words, Change the War, available anywhere you get books. I'm looking at it right now on Amazon. Also, he works through his website, bridgecharity.com, bridgecharity.com. You can learn more about what he's doing and some of the efforts. It's a nonprofit, 501c3 nonprofit, specifically trying to promote civil discourse. Okay, I heard you, and I think it's very impressive, but a couple minutes left only, but the world is so nasty right now. you sound so nice and civilized, and the book is so serious minded. It's a nasty world. Is, you know, is part of it get off of the places, social media, where it's nasty, and go to, you know, is it a sort of a localism argument? Is it how do you beat the just nasty nature of this?
Wonderful question. Look, one of the chapters in the book is making the argument that we have become, as a people, addicted to confrontation. Now, I'm a recovery guy, so I know a little bit about this, and the symptoms are all there. We're neuropathing for it now. We're craving it, just like I used to crave a glass of Jack Daniels. And the first step in recovering from that sort of an addiction is to admit, in this case, that our national lives have become unmanageable. The next thing you have to do is you have to take a look in the mirror, and you have to own your 1% at least of what it is that's got us to this point. Right. So reducing the level of nastiness begins and commences with a look in the mirror and a bit of ownership of how we might individually be contributing to it ourselves. Social media plays a big role. It is an enabler, and it is, if you will, the needle that goes into the arm. So understanding these things, appreciating and acknowledging that we have an addiction problem to confrontation is a very big part to getting better. In fact, that admission is the necessary first step.
Well, it's a very helpful. First of all, your voice out there, I think, is very. It's great to have you on the show. Dissonantly Speaking Again is a book. Change the Words, Change the War, out just a few weeks ago. Brent Hamacek has been our guest. His co-author is Felicia Blazek. You should check it out, and we'll have you back again, sir. It's a helpful kind of dialogue, and your great voice on it. We got to take a break, though. I'm up against the break. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. I'll put all those links up there to Brent's book on social media, and be right back here on the Pro America Report. Back in a moment.
This is the Pro America Report on The Answer San Diego.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Pro America Report. This is Ryan Height filling in again here for Mr. Ed Martin today on this Good Friday. And I hope that it is a Good Friday, that you're looking forward to a weekend of celebrating Easter with friends and family, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what he has done for us, what that means for us, what that means for us as Americans. Hopefully you were here for the wink. We talked a little bit about that, the worldview battle, the spiritual battle, really, that we're facing here in America. You back up and look at it, and there's just no other way to explain what we are seeing here. It is certainly not just politics as usual anymore. But let me remind you real quick, I have a couple things I wanted to wrap up on. But before we get there, let me remind you, go to proamericareport.com. There you're going to find Ed's Substack. You'll want to read it, subscribe to it, see what he's talking about. And then, of course, go to phyllisschlafly.com. phyllisschlafly.com has the podcast, all of the archives of wonderful guests, their links and resources, how to find them, what they're talking about. And then, of course, you can get the all-important Wink email. Sign up for that and have it come to your inbox every weekday morning, early in the morning. Really short, really helpful, and on point, on topic. You won't want to miss it. I wanted to take a moment here at the wrap-up just to talk about another couple of quick things. I know that I've mentioned it before. My program on Thursdays that we live stream, of course, it's available as a podcast to Unauthorized Caucus. This week, we had a really good conversation. Andrew Mueller, who some of you may know, he's been on the program here. I believe so. He's been on the program with Ed before, but also he appears around a lot. Alex Newman, who is a good friend of the show, is on frequently, author, investigative journalist, a writer, a thinker, particularly when it comes to the educational field. He is one of the stellar sources of information of our age. But Andrew is his operations chief over at Liberty Sentinel Media, their company. And Andrew and I were talking this week about a lot of different things. I wanted to remind you, this is, and you know, I'm just going to tie this back into Easter. I'm a pastor's kid, okay? This is what you get. We're just going to weave in and out of Easter and have a bunch of illustrations. And I may even pop in an alliteration or two. I can't help it. It's just in my blood. It's what's going to come out. But we were talking about a few different things that I think are pretty relevant. And there's not really a single issue wrapped up, but there were several big things that happened this week, several important things that happened this week. I think it bears talking about. And first of all, the bridge, this collapse of the Francis Scott Key Memorial Bridge in Baltimore, there is a lot of information that is coming out that is pretty rock solid and reliable, but it's not getting discussed in mainstream news, even some of the conservative mainstream news. But this has a good appearance of what looks like it could be a cyber attack against the United States. So not an accident, something that's very purposeful. Now, who? I mean, you could fill in the blank. Who knows about it? Who knew that this was a possible? Again, I'm not here to speculate on that, but my point being, this is big, it's in the news, but that angle of it, which is becoming more and more and more credible as information is coming about, that is something that we should keep our eye to. And that's, you know, we talk about that here on the Pro America Report all the time, is to distrust and verify. Okay, so if I hear the narrative story that's being fed to me, I'm immediately going to say, yeah, I don't know about that. Let's go find out what's really happening. This is one of those times. This is one of those stories. And the deeper we go into it, the more we start realizing there's some really interesting stuff that doesn't quite match up here. So I want to encourage you, not only on this bridge topic, but on a lot of others that are coming up. Just, you know what? This is a good time in America to be doing our due diligence. You're here in a good place for that. The Pro America Report. Going to PhyllisSchlafly.com, listening to Unauthorized Caucus, going and finding Alex Newman, Liberty Sentinel, what they're doing. Find trustworthy sources, as again, kind of calling back to the wink here today, that this is a worldview battle. Find someone whose worldview lines up with yours so you know when they are looking through their worldview lens at what is going on in the world, they're going to be coming at things from a similar viewpoint as you. It's a very important and a very meaningful way to find good sources in the news. Don't be afraid to do that. And you've got some good ones here. We have great people on, retired Colonel John Mills and Daniel Greenfield, who is on today. There's so many really, really good sources. Make sure that you are, as Ed says, distrusting and verifying. But even when it seems cut and dry, oh, this accident, well, really? Was it an accident? Because it doesn't take too long on Twitter before I'm seeing pretty credible sources, not just the conspiracy land. Pretty credible sources talking about how this really has some suspicious looks to it, the way that protocols weren't followed or all the different things, just what the bridge happens to be for and where it is. There is a lot to consider here. So this is one of those stories. And then as we're looking forward, same thing. We had a good discussion. I encourage you to go watch it. Go watch it or listen to it. Catch the podcast, The Unauthorized Caucus, this week. There's more than I can get into here in the wrap up today, talking about Donald Trump's potential choice of a vice president, how that might shake up some of the polling in key states. There are some very interesting trends, and I think that we're seeing some very, very cool things coming this year politically. It's going to be raucous, though. Make no mistake, it's not going to be a docile election year. But I'll stop there and let's wrap it up on a good note. Let me do this. We fight all of these political battles over and over and over again, and I am just so incredibly encouraged that it always seems like throughout American history, the Lord has provided. God has been present in the affairs of men who have sought to have freedom and a recognition of the rights given to us by God. I think it is undeniable when you look across American history that you see that hand of providence working across it. So this weekend, Ed and I both, and I'm looking at his Easter message that he emailed to a group of people this morning, Ed and I both, we wish that this weekend, as we're considering Easter, no matter what the intimidating battles or foes we face here in America or in our personal lives, we are so happy that we can rest assured in the greater knowledge that the war has been won already at Calvary and at the empty tomb. We pray that you understand and know that peace this weekend. If not, that you would seek out those in your life that would know and point you in the right direction. He has risen. He is risen indeed. So, praying for you this weekend, grateful for you this weekend. Thank you to Ed for being our host all the time, to Mason, my co-producer, to you for being part of this Pro America Report family. Go out, find some good sources, some good news, and have a wonderful time this weekend as we celebrate the resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll talk to you next week back here on the Pro America Report.